used to read Wizard magazine, Marvel versus DC. I don't want to fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 333. 333 if you're a Blackhawks fan.
No one is.
I am. I am. But they always say when it gets down there, and that's just one of the... Oh, man, I forget his name, but the guy who's been their announcer for a long time.
Dale Talon?
No, Dale Talon, he moved on to be the GM of Florida a long time ago. Okay. But yeah, oh, man, I'm out of practice. Hockey season was so long ago. But... sorry. So, hey, I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Josh.
Dave.
Pat's outside on a phone call, and he looks very agitated, so... and Spencer just had to boogie because we're running late. You don't know that, but we know that. So...
How do you make Spencer dance?
I don't know how.
Put a little boogie on. This is normally a tissue joke.
Okay.
But you said boogie. So.
Okay. I'm like, what? I don't know why we'd want Spencer to dance. So that's who's here. Thanks, Josh. That was really scary. That was a nice gif. Thank you so much for that. So that's a lot of good dare.
Sound means it wasn't a GIF or a GIF. It was
okay.
A video.
It was a video. I'm sorry. It was a goof.
GIF is a peanut butter. Get some.
I don't know how to say it right anymore. I always thought it was GIF, but now people tell me it's something else because it's a... I don't know. Whatever it is.
It's GIF.
I don't care. But a shout out to Jim Clark at Century 21 because he asked me to... give him a shout out because he's my realtor. He did a good job finding me a house.
It's a special relationship between a man and his realtor.
It is. It's a unique relationship. Pat's back. He looks still agitated.
No, he has one simple question. You're on the phone for 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, that wasn't my intent, but I got an answer for you.
Oh, that guy. Okay. Yeah.
Who's the father? Him or a German Shepherd?
Yes,
I
yes.
played that while I was moving.
Maury, I did it. Yeah, Maury says. No.
How many licks does it take at the center of. Fill in the blank. Of a Tootsie Roll Tootsie Pop?
Thank you, Dave, for keeping it clean. Not where Josh was going.
How do you know where I was going?
Because I can tell.
How do you know?
I can tell.
Yeah.
Because this is podcast number 333.
How's Captain America Month going?
Well,
you need to fire your IT department.
To be fair, I was busy. Well, normally Adam does that, but I was busy both.
Technically, the technology is still current with the wall.
That's true.
No, I fixed the website.
Did you?
Yeah.
When?
I should have. I did it.
Yes, you should
like
have.
Saturday, I thought I did.
He probably did.
I thought I did. I went through to do it. Yeah, normally Adam does that, but I was running around Thursday, and I was running around Saturday, so I wasn't here, and...
Okay, it's fixed.
Didn't get it done. Okay, thank you.
You took care of the wall, Pat? That's very nice of you.
No, I did not take care of the wall.
I'll take care of it tomorrow, but I got stuff going on tomorrow, too. See, I got
lots of
things are going on here, Josh, and you're yelling at me, and... But... Uh-oh. Oh, dear.
So you have fixed a website. August is Vertigo Comics Month at Pittsburgh Comics. All month long, double points in all Captain America related graphic novels.
You made it complicated.
You know what? And that's, I think I saw the Captain America thing before,
okay.
And I hadn't looked at August.
I laugh because it's funny because it's almost like you intentionally mirrored what's going on in the main room of the store.
Got a lot going on.
It's just—it's a really—it's a really immersive digital presence you have going on. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comics. He's Colin McMahon. He's angry right now.
No, not angry. News-wise, I don't remember much of anything. They did announce a new Uncanny X-Men book.
Did you see who they're saying is rumored to be in the Green Lantern movie today?
No, because I heard that's who they originally wanted back when they shot it. Tom Cruise? Yeah, that was who they were considering.
Well, they're saying now that he's...
I heard that's who they were considering back when they did Ryan Reynolds.
The thing I saw today is that pending some script changes, he might be signing on to it.
Okay.
Oh, really?
I think he's too old. Unless they're going to
We don't talk about
Unless they're going to have him be an older Hal Jordan and also have then, like, John Stewart and the rest of them on there as well.
Maybe he's Alan Scott. No, he's not. But, yeah, no, I agree. Okay, I thought that... I read that as that's someone they had considered originally.
Yeah, what I'm reading is that was... It was considered, but he's not...
Yeah.
Oh, I read today on IGN was different. Who knows? Rumors.
You got joshed. Oh, sorry. Spencer was going to talk... He was here. He had to leave. He was going to talk about the Captain Marvel trailer. And,
the teaser, yeah.
Yeah, the teaser, and we realized it was just a fan-made one that he had seen.
He started showing us the teaser, and it's like, oh, that scene's from Shaft with Samuel Jackson. Oh, that scene's from
he
the
said,
room.
Yeah, because he did say him with two eyes, and was like, what?
Well, no, they did say he was going to have two
eyes. Oh, did they?
Movie,
okay.
Yeah.
So.
There was so, apparently in Infinity War, when Cole Obsidian's walking around, he's wearing a sash that looks like hers.
And right.
It's the same color. So my guess is she fought him. Maybe that's why Nick Fury lost his eye. Something like that.
Yeah, but they then analyzed that more. And the sash, what looks like the sash, the colors match like other things on his armor as well. So that looks like it's just part of the armor he's wearing.
Like, I watched it again last night. It does look a lot like her. But who knows? I mean, even there, she should have been like the black suit with the lightning bolt from the earlier one, and then now she's wearing that, you know, after she gets, you know, her ass kicked, and she, oh, wait, I actually need to cover up and, you know, fight like I'm fighting something.
Pshaw.
I hate that costume.
Yeah.
That's the only one I can think of.
Yeah. I bought a...
Well, we know why you don't.
Why? Why don't I like it?
Because we know what it is. The sexiest outfit in comics.
That's what I was about to say. I don't remember if I told you before. It's so creepy.
Yeah, that's...
I will not name the comic book shop, but I wanted to buy that first issue of the Kelly Pseudoconic.
Oh.
I was like, should I change your costume? It was the sexiest costume in comics. Like, don't want to have this conversation with you, man.
Nice.
Buy my comic and walk away.
Nice. But Uncanny X-Men, they announced, is going to be a... Start off with a 12-issue weekly run with three different writers and artists.
Bye, Tim!
Bye, Tim!
And, you know, people online say bye, Tim, too. They miss you.
You sure he's going to be gone this time?
Sorry, just making sure the open sign was off. So we don't get visits.
That'll stop.
Yeah. But, so Uncanny X-Men, my guess is they're going to try to do what they did with Avengers. My concern with it is, like with Avengers, we did okay on number one, but number two we sold out of, and then it took 4 weeks to get second prints of number two. Or they'll do it like they're doing now, which is insane, where I'm having to order second prints 2 weeks before the first prints arrive. So I'm supposed to assume I'm going to sell out of the first prints and order enough second prints, because the problem is, by the time the second prints come, they're already sold out, and then you have to order third print, and it's just chaos, because I was looking on the invoice for next week. We have, I think, the Infinity War 2 second prints are coming. And
wasn't Infinity War number 2 out today?
Yes, but I already had to order second prints of it. So it's like, I don't know what I need. So, just very frustrating in the game they're playing, and I don't see it getting better with a weekly series. And then I was talking with Dan.
How many weeks old slips?
Well, not even that. I mean, the Avengers never slipped, but it just, we went weeks after weeks without issues. And, you know, and Dan said, well, it'd be nice if they offered returnability or something like that. Isn't that cool? Oh, that was cool. But...
See, your badge and everything.
Yes. Boom sent a really neat promo thing for Black Badge, number one to stores. And I was... weird, because I'd been seeing stores posting pictures, and I was kind of going, well, where's mine? And then Tim today said, yeah, what's in that package that showed up? But it was under a bunch of stuff, and I never even saw it. And then I opened it up. I'm like, yay! I got my Black Badge badge. So... very cool little promo item they did.
That could be the tagline for your store.
What?
A bunch of stuff.
I found something on something. Yeah.
Thanks. I saw them in a
but a bump. Yes. But yeah, oh, back to Uncanny. I'm just, it's just, oh, what I was saying to Dan was, yeah, but they'll probably make it order 500% of Return of Wolverine number one, and then you can do something. And it's like, it just, everything's too much of a burden on us, which is annoying. You know, the risk and the of ordering and overordering, and I'm sure they'll all be $5 a piece like the Avengers one was, and blah blah blah. So I'm not a fan. So we'll see how that what happens there, but yeah, it kind of came out with a bit of a thud, because I think the reasoning is that X-Men Gold was every other week and X-Men Blue was every other week, so this is just going to be every week. But it's like, yes, but, you know, this is your big launch, and is it a, just a 12-issue series? They say ongoing, but,
yeah, but the first 12.
Yeah, so we'll see. I'm just not super excited. And then my question is, okay, so is this replacing all the X-Books? So what about Red that's only going to be up to, like, issue 8 by then?
Well, what about Black? Like,
Black is a series of one-shots. Yeah, Black is 5 one-shots. There's a Magneto one, and I forget what the rest are, but yeah. So
is that all villains?
All villains, all villains, and I think that one's also weekly, so we have no idea how to order it. So it's just, I'm not a fan of the way they're doing stuff right now. They're making it. They're making it hard. Well, I've never been a fan of the way they do stuff. Not a fan of the books, but not a fan of just the way they operate.
Right.
So, I don't remember any other news book-wise about anything going on off the top of my head, and I apologize if I'm missing something. I've got a lot of stuff going on right now.
I can't think of anything else, really.
I can't think of anything.
No, nope. Dave? Dave's news? No Dave's news?
This isn't really news, but I saw at the convention in Boston over the weekend that John Byrne was up there.
Yeah, I saw pictures, yeah.
Photo with him with C.B. Sobolski. Yeah.
I think people might be reading a lot into it, yeah, where it might just have been C.B. going up going, I'm a big fan.
On his website, on John Byrne on his website right now, he's drawing like an X-Men Elsewhen series just for fun. So everybody is like really jumping to conclusions here. But it makes my mind wander about what he would,
right,
about him coming back to Marvel to do something after 18 years.
Right. So we have one podcast question.
We do.
I hope you're excited. Nick asked, are there any good comics based on the Arthurian legend? And for me, there's only two that I can even think of. They're probably
Sword of
more...
Ages, current one.
Oh, the current one? Okay.
Yeah, that's... it has a spin on that, and it's by...
Gabriel Rodriguez. Yeah. Cool.
Lock and Key.
Radical a while ago did one called Excalibur, which I'm assuming is dealing with the Arthurian legend, but I never read it. And then there's also Mage, which I think is loosely based on that, which is still going right now. It's been Matt Wagner's been doing that for a long time. We're finally into the end of it. This is part 3 is going on. And as far as I know, now I've never read it. I missed the first wave of it and never got into it. And I think it's finally just been reprinted. So I will give it a look, you know, in my spare time when I can read a graphic novel.
Sword of Ages has one arc done, or out right now, so I guess one volume out right now, and it's on a break, because he writes and draws.
Friends.
We were on a break! Cue YouTube music. But it's really good. The art's fantastic. The story's really good. It's one of those ones where I knew his art from Lock and Key, but wasn't sure how it was, is, you know, the... only storyteller, but
right.
No, it's really good. It's a really solid book.
Cool. Anybody else? Any others, Dave? No?
I can't think of any.
No.
I'm almost surprised that there isn't more kind
of... Oh, wait. Camelot 3000. That, if you've never read that, read that, man. I've never read it since I read it in Issues when it first came out back in the early 80s. That was awesome. Brian Boland art. Oh, beautiful. It was slow. It was late, as I recall, but, oh, that was fantastic. That was basically, the idea was it's the year 3000. The Earth is being attacked by aliens, and the Arthurian legends are reborn, but not necessarily, like, Galahad is a woman.
Yeah,
and one of them, I think one of the big knights, I forget the names.
Lancelot?
No, it wasn't Lancelot, because that was real... Maybe Lancelot was a woman?
Percival.
Something like that, but one of them is like this deformed monster. So it was really good, though, as I recall, having to fight off. Save England from this alien invasion. That was really good. I just remember seeing the covers. Just like every once in a while, I'll have go through a collection and it'll be there and just seeing the covers again. His art. Ugh.
It's a surefire way to get you to buy the collection, right?
Yes.
Is that in there?
Yes. Oh, I'm sure they've done a hardcover since, and I know I have it at home. Still shrink wrapped. It's as in all my hardcovers. But,
comic books are meant to be enjoyed, Colin.
I know they are. So, yeah, those would be the ones I could think of. So. We'll move, since we start a little late, I think we'll just keep moving right along. Josh.
Oh, I don't have my list ready yet.
Oh, Dave.
I didn't think we were going to be moving into that phase already.
Anybody else have anything? I don't have any rants or anything. Everything's been fairly smooth. It was funny, Dan did ask. There is a lot of excitement. The Marvel stuff is doing quite well. Fantastic Four did very, very well. Infinity Wars is doing well. I'll have to see how Extermination did today. But sales are up kind of across the board. There's been a lot of books people are coming in for that they seem to be excited about. Sandman did very, very well.
Is that really all you have left? Is that one issue?
One copy of the main cover, and then I do have some variants. Because there were seven covers, so I did have to spread it out a little bit. But I had ordered a lot, and I cut it back.
Okay. Was that part of the... The whole,
okay, DC. It was part of it, but it also realized, I think I had ordered like 100 copies, and I kind of went, I probably don't need 100 copies of Sandman. So I ended up with like 30 or 35 of the main, and then I think like 7 or 8 of each. I think I did 7 above holds on each of the variants.
Because
there were 7 variants.
Right there,
yeah.
So,
I mean, I ordered plenty, so maybe I did order 80, but I remember when I looked at my first number and I kind of went, ooh, that's a little high. So, like, I ordered more of the Jim Lee variant than I did of some of the others. But
that was one you were sold out of.
Yeah, I sold out of that one. But, I mean, again, probably only ordered 8 or 12 or something like that.
Okay.
Especially because that was the last one we had the art for. We had the art for all the other ones, and that one came in right at the wire. Which was cool, but then it's like, okay, but... So. But yeah, but things are trending up, so which is good.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeehaw.
Yeehaw.
Alright, so I have my list now. Supergirl 21.
How was that? I
wanted
to...
I actually liked this a lot.
Okay.
I liked it a whole lot.
So it's like... It's continuing the numbering, which I appreciate. They didn't relaunch it, but it's the new story spinning out of Man of Steel.
Yeah, and it still like picks up like continuity from what happened before. But yeah, it plays up on Kara wanting to find out the truth behind what really happened to Krypton, and find out if what Rosar was saying was accurate. Also, her belief is that if what he says is true, it couldn't have just been one person. It had to be more people that knew about this and were involved in this plot. And the thing with her is she's older than Clark. She remembers Krypton.
Right.
She grew up there before it was being sent to Earth. So it's much more personal for her. And there's some interaction with her and Clark, where Clark's kind of trying to talk her out of it. And they get in a bit of a heated argument where she essentially says to him, like, you're human. You were a baby then sent here. I grew up there, but the art was really good for the most part. There were a couple panels, specifically like panels where it was more of like a close up on her like smiling. It looked a bit off, but otherwise the Kevin Maguire art was really nice.
it's a good jumping on point. Even if it's number 21,
right.
It's a good place to jump on. I actually, we were in the car and Adele wanted to, you wanted to know if I had something she could read. I was like, well, here, you can read the Supergirl book. I read it earlier and it was, nothing bad in it.
And she's read, she read that book being human or
sure,
being...
Sure, Supergirl being super. Okay. But she hadn't read, like, the 20 issues of Supergirl
right.
part of this. But she read it and really liked it and actually asked me to make sure she gets to read the next one as it comes out as well.
Oh.
Because she
why would
it,
you want her?
She thought it had a really good cliffhanger at the end of
okay.
it.
Okay. So Dell gives it a thumbs up.
Dell gave it a thumbs up. There's
cool.
there's some nice crypto stuff in there.
Good. Streaky?
No streaky.
Okay.
Supergirl's spaceship has landing gear that look like chicken feet, which is weird.
Okay.
But yeah, it
why
was,
does she have a spaceship?
Well, because they can't breathe in space.
Superman can breathe in space.
Not in current continuity, he can't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Last time I think he was in space, he was wearing, like, a rebreather apparatus. Normally, they say, like, they were just, like, holding their breath for a long time in space.
Okay.
But also, she has a ship because, in case she goes to planets where there's no yellow sun.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
But she also has some this weird...
Wait, but
outfit.
Actually that doesn't make sense, because if she's not in a spaceship, if there's no yellow sun, she wouldn't be able to fly. She wouldn't be able to propel herself.
So
I mean, the physics
has,
of that wouldn't work anyway.
That's why she has a spaceship.
Because
she can't just go, yeah.
But I'm thinking older continuity ones,
oh.
And just flying
yeah.
in space. Yeah, that wouldn't really work.
No, it wouldn't. I think that's why they kind of brought it back to where we're at now. Although Superman has done stuff in recent comics where he was, like, fighting that army that was far away. Was it Action or was it Superman where he...
I'm sure, because when in Man of Steel, when he was fighting whatever
but they
his
say,
name was,
but they have
he
said,
was on the moon.
But they have said that they can hold their breath for a long period of time, and they'll go into space to do that. But then there's other times
okay.
they show them wearing the rebreather.
Okay.
But yeah, so she gets all of her affairs in order and gets the spaceship and goes off. And it has, like, this crazy new suit that has, like, the ability to almost generate yellow sun energy as well as part of, like, building her symbol. But it's not the same suit that's on the cover.
Oh,
the
okay. I was going to say, because I like that suit.
The suit that's
on
the cover, you actually don't see in this issue at all.
Huh.
So that kind of surprised me. But, no, it was really good. I really enjoyed it. Detective Comics?
I really like this issue.
I like this arc a lot, actually.
Yeah.
The only thing I don't like about the arc is I don't like that Batgirl is being treated as if she's one
marginalized.
Of the... Yeah, because...
Like,
she's
one of the kids. She's
kind of like...
She's not.
She grew up and, like, branched off to her own thing, so to have her, like, back just, under the, under his normal, like, team of kids
yeah.
just doesn't seem right. But when they first brought her in, they explained why they're bringing her in a way that worked, because they said that she's been gotten close to Orphan, and they,
right.
he knew that she wouldn't, just let Orphan... go without her also being involved. So
yeah.
that made sense, but then the way it's been treated recently, I don't know.
No, but I kind of like how she got into it with Black Lightning over that, too.
Yeah, and it's neat having her play almost like the Oracle role
mm-hmm.
in this. But yeah, I've liked this arc a lot so far.
Yeah, and what I really liked about this issue is you had Cassie doing something.
Yeah.
Because I really didn't like how they've really marginalized her, and, she was basically destroyed because of what happened to Clayface.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, she's still a strong character. Don't weaken her that much. I mean, yeah, she's not going to be the same person, but she should still be getting out there and doing things.
Yeah.
Don't just keep her cooped mm-hmm. up with Alfred making brownies.
Yeah. I agree.
Or cookies or whatever it was.
I agree. She's a badass.
Yeah. And then Catan at the end I liked.
Yeah, that was cool.
That's pretty
yeah.
cool.
Let's see. Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps, number 50, the last issue. I really liked it. I thought it was a really, really good end to Venditti's long run on this book. He's been on this book for like 3-plus years now. Well, I guess longer than that. Because Rebirth is on year 2 now.
Yeah, he's
right.
been on since before Rebirth.
He
yeah.
came on around issue like 20-something of... New 52.
Okay.
He came on
right after
Jeff Johns.
Yeah,
and I was like,
I think like
around mid-20s,
yeah. So, yeah, he's been on for, I guess, more like 4 years now. Close to 5 years. But it was good. I don't want to spoil anything because it's the last issue, so and I was reading this still, but it was a really good issue that showcased the best things of all the main, you know, lanterns, especially the four, you know, corpsemen. It leaves things off in a really good place for, like, Hal Jordan. I don't know how it meshes with what we've heard so far about this upcoming Grant Morrison Green Lantern's book that's focusing on Hal Jordan, because the way I heard that one pitched is that, you know, Hal Jordan is not always, like, a good guy, but he's a good cop.
Okay.
And it made it almost seem like they were playing up, like, him being, like, you know, on the edge of being, like, a dirty cop, whereas this issue very much had Hal Jordan, you know, taking the moral high ground and not giving in to that sort of thing. So,
okay.
I'll see. I could have misheard what the synopsis was for the upcoming, you know, Morrison run. But no, this was great. It used all the different villains that had teamed up with the Lanterns really well. I feel like everyone really got the shine, and it was showcased in this issue. It wrapped things up, the story, nicely. So I will miss Venditti on that, but Venditti announced that there will be some sort of announcement regarding him and Guy Gardner coming up soon, so he may not be done with the Lantern universe after all. Also, wrapping up, Bloodshot Salvation had its final issue.
Yeah, I enjoyed that one.
It was good.
I thought it was a good ending.
Yeah.
Obviously, leaves room for stuff in the future, because I think November is the...
But that's going back to the past.
Okay.
That's talking about, like, that's doing, like, an origin for that Bloodshot, almost, which I don't know how I feel about. But, like, I feel like they've already done that.
I thought that was... Well, no, Colorado didn't do that. Well, it was Bloodshot Reborn.
That was him after he,
yeah,
you know, was human, then coming back to being... This, I think, is going back to when he first, you know, became...
Rising Spirit.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll see. I mean, I'll check it out, but I don't know if I'm as interested in reading that origin as opposed to, like, seeing what's the next thing. But
yeah,
but no more Jeff Lemire on that.
Mm-mm.
And someone asked him, because he was talking about some project that he was working on. And someone asked for something for Ryan. He said nothing for Ryan, in the foreseeable future. So
I'm wondering if that's not because of the sale, or
I don't know. You saw who he dedicated the run to at the end of the issue? Warren
Dinesh?
Simmons.
Okay.
No, Warren Simmons.
Okay.
So, former editor-in-chief for Valiant. But it was really good. It was another, like, kind of, you know, pulling your heartstrings kind of issue, but, you know, it was good. It leaves me curious as to what's going to happen with that Bloodshot.
The future.
It's in the
4001
future, yeah.
Bloodshot, yeah.
I kind of was expecting at some point for him to allude to or say that, you know, he's killing this guy in the future, but it gives him, like, 2,000 years to find
to
a way to, you know,
not
fix
have
it.
To do it, yeah.
But he was just pretty much like, nope, I'm an asshole, that means you're an asshole, so get used to it.
I gotta get home to my baby.
But no, it was good. Catwoman, number 2.
I read that.
I like this series a lot.
I like the series. I also really like the paper.
I like
and
the
I really
paper
noticed
paper.
It on this
new,
one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I really
every
like
book
that new
paper.
Papers,
yeah, I've been really liking it. The colors seem to, like, pop.
Yeah.
And it has,
yeah,
like, this nice pulpy look. And with this book, with her art style, that pulpy look really works.
Yep. Yep. And her art style makes that the head lady really, really creepy.
She is super creepy.
Yeah.
The Skeletor looking lady.
Yeah. So it was good. I felt a little lost at the beginning only because I didn't remember which one
was the
main bad Catwoman. So I was a little lost. And then when that girl was
which
like...
I don't think she wasn't there in that fight in the beginning.
Okay. Yeah, I just didn't... I came into it. I just felt a little lost coming into it. But yeah, especially the stuff with the ring.
And then the sort of like trap they're setting for Catwoman. Because they were talking about how they know she's going to come to that event that night. And
yeah. No, really, really, really well done. Good job, Joelle.
And they've done...
I'm sure that's what she was waiting for, was your approval.
No, but good job. And I think she's on a new, I want to say Word Balloon. She's on a new Word Balloon podcast.
Really?
Do you listen to Word Balloon?
I have not.
Okay. No. I was listening to one with Denny O'Neill. And he was talking about Denny O'Neill wrote this book, and originally it was going to be, just a novel. And then it slowly kind of morphed into an autobiography. And he's talking to his family, his kids and his wife, and just they convinced him to, don't hide anything, tell your story. And so they did. And he was kind of bemoaning the low sales, so I just got it in. That's it right there. Yeah, I just ordered it in here. Hand it over to, I don't remember the title. But yeah, it's the Perils of Captain Mighty and the Redemption of Danny the Kid. It looks completely self-published. I don't even see a publisher on it. Which is kind of cool to me that you can do stuff like this. It says covered by Bill Sienkiewicz, but that cover doesn't really scream Bill Sienkiewicz.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, so it wasn't a lot. Maybe 12, 15 bucks. So
Amazon?
Support Denny O'Neill. Yeah, was Amazon. So that was cool. But shout out. I was trying to take a picture and I was going to send it to them, but
yeah.
I couldn't find John. I didn't know how to spell John Suntress to try to
find it. It looks like,
find it.
Like a high-quality book, like the cover.
It does, yeah. It doesn't look like a. Yeah, I mean, in the inside, I've gotten some of these where you're like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, you sure did this.
I know why it's
self-published. Yeah. But no, I mean, I'm really looking forward to it, and it's much bigger than I thought. It's 300 and some pages, 330 some pages. So, thank you guys. So I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hijack.
That was a compliment. Like that's what she said. Who wouldn't want to hear that?
Continue.
The other thing I was going to say about Catwoman, I felt like she has done a good job, Joel Jones, of showing like fallout from the whole like the wedding falling apart thing.
Yep. And Batman Today does as well.
Does it? Okay. I do appreciate that sort of thing because it does make it feel a little less like gimmicky when you see that there is some emotion to it. But that was it. I think that is everything I read that I remember enough to talk about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dave, swing back your way.
Fantastic Four.
I read that too.
Number one.
Was it fantastic?
Were there four of them?
It was good.
It wasn't fantastic?
I didn't love it.
It's not all four of them together yet.
That was part of my problem, is this is really prelude to the Fantastic Four.
Yeah. But it's Ben and Johnny back on Earth, and they doing their thing, shopping with Alicia, and Johnny's at the Mets game with White Wingfoot. It's good to see White Wingfoot again.
But just kind of seemed thrown out there,
yeah.
And then also shoehorned into the past story they told, where he didn't really seem to fit.
Yeah,
so
they're trying to still looking for Reed and Sue, and then. Flair goes up over the city, Fantastic Four Flair, but it's a Nancy Street kids who stole the gun from Ben's apartment or house and set it off.
And then Ben had this little thing there that he was happy they didn't get, and it like evoked this memory of this old story that they told of when they had saved the world. But Wyatt Wingfoot was there with them, which.
Yeah.
It was like outer space travel, so why would he have gone with them? So there were some just, like, I guess trying to establish their supporting cast, it was just, felt a little forced.
Yeah. So the big news is, Ben proposed to Alicia.
And that felt forced to me, too. That seemed out of the left field.
Yeah.
She said yes.
She did say yes.
Yeah, and then he asked Johnny to be the best.
The thing.
He asked Johnny to be the best man, and Johnny got all mad Johnny got all mad because he shouldn't be the best man. Reed should be the best man, and Reed's not there, and everybody got sad.
Yeah.
The weird thing for me was, then when you do Reed and Sue do kind of show up in it, they send like a Fantastic Four signal back to Earth, but. I remember at the end of Secret Wars, they went with the kids off to remake the multiverse.
Yeah.
This made it sound like they're lost in space and can't get back. And I'm like, they weren't lost in space. They went away willingly. So I didn't quite understand the whole they're lost and need help getting back, things like that. It's like, remember this. They weren't lost. So I was a little confused by that.
Well, so when the old run ended, I don't even remember Wyatt Wingfoot being in it for a while.
I didn't read
and
the last batch.
And
yeah, he wasn't.
Yeah, so he just kind of showed up. Now, I don't know if he's been in the Marvel 2-in-1. That's why I wish Adam was here, because I haven't been reading the 2-in-1. But
I've been reading that.
He hasn't been in that. Okay. And has the Alicia thing been in that? It wasn't in the issues I had read.
What?
The Alicia romantic thing?
No, they've been off in another dimension, another galaxy.
Okay, so that just seemed out of left field, all of a sudden him proposing to Alicia.
Yeah.
It seems clear that this was meant to bring the Daves of the world back into reading it, as opposed
right.
to bringing in new readers.
Right, right. It just, yeah,
Which
you kind of had to know who the players
fine.
Were
yeah,
to,
exactly.
to understand it.
There is a disconnect
it.
Between this and 2-in-1.
Yeah, so I was confused.
They're still on the battle world in the last issue in Marvel 2-in-1.
Okay.
Somehow, who knows how they got back.
But there should be a...
taking place in battle world still?
Yeah. It's some world where, at least the last issue was when it's a world where Spider-Man is ruling the world. And
oh, it's not like the place from
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
I would have thought there'd been if it's not gonna be a true jumping on point. There should have been some kind of primer for...
This seemed like it should... Yeah, this really... Yeah, I really thought this should have been, like, a preview to...
If I recall, like, Adam said he liked it, but he did say that there was a big disconnect between that and the 2-in-1.
Yeah. Next, Black Badge.
Read that.
Number
just got
one,
my special...
We talked about before. New series by Matt Kent. About a top secret branch of the Boy
Tyler...
Scouts.
Tyler.
Oh, that book.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you get that?
No.
Oh, okay, it was really Tyler Jenkins, who had just done Grass Kings.
And Hillary Jenkins.
That was really good. That was really well played.
It's four kids are the Black Badges. You just think they're a bunch of loser Boy Scouts at the beginning, or at least the other.
Other kids
other
they
kids
were with,
are,
yeah, they didn't really explain who those other kids were. Yeah,
they're in South Korea, and then they have to sneak into North Korea to give...
Well, you don't know, because they have one new kid
yeah.
who's just kind of along and isn't sure what's going on. And but the setup is that they needed to get into North Korea to go to these coordinates, but because they could do it because these kids just got lost. These are just scouts, they just got lost.
Yeah.
So when they are finally confronted by the North Koreans, they're like, oh, I'm sorry, you know, he went through this fence, that hole in that fence, I'm so sorry, da-da-da, and, you know, the guards were more mad at the guy for not fixing the fence than at the kids. And
I feel
just
like
kinda...
you're describing a Stripes reboot.
Yeah.
It's
kinda... But it was just... But it,
it's kind of...
But then it turns out that these kids are actually highly trained, and it was for this missile strike on this... spot, but they needed to get eyes on it so that they could coordinate which of these buildings actually had smoke coming out of it, type of thing. So it was very interesting, and each one of them has very specific skill sets. And this is like the last badge, because the new kid has gotten every Boy Scout badge there is, and then it's like, well, except for one. There's the Black Badge. So, and that's what this is. That's the rules of the Black Badge and stuff. So it was really cool. They sent me an actual black badge, which I thought was kind of cool—a patch to put on a song.
Have you earned it?
No, I have not earned it, other than ordering the book. But it was really, really well done. There's so much they can do with this.
One kid had to earn the badge by swimming.
Yeah.
Underneath.
Yeah.
And
like passing out. Yeah.
Passing out.
Yeah.
Then they explained to him what the whole black badges were about.
Yeah, it was neat. It's a real neat idea.
Good.
And Matt Kent, who has a real good track record.
Yeah.
Daredevil 606. Haven't talked about this one in a while, but it's they're still kind of the Mayor Fisk arc.
Okay.
Matt Murdock was deputy mayor, but he resigned to go so he could better go after Wilson Fisk, Kingpin, and try to figure out how he rigged the election to become mayor. So he gets this Phil McGee guy who's been in it before. He was head of security for the Inhumans, and they put together a team of Cypher and this other guy, Reader, who's blind, but he can, like, read Braille and then make that, whatever he reads, make it real.
Okay.
It's a really odd mutant power.
Yeah. And there's some scenes with Hammerhead. There's chaos in New York City, so Hammerhead robs a bank with his goons, but he's trying to show that citizens in New York should be afraid of him too. But the big news comes at the end. There's a disturbance at the villain's bar with no name.
Okay.
And so Daredevil goes to check it out, and who's there? Mike Murdock.
No way.
His twin brother.
That can't be. He's dead.
I know.
I read the issue where he died.
But wasn't this just something he made up, right?
Yes. He had moved to San Francisco, and he was Mike Murdock out there, Matt's hip brother, and he was all cool, and he just wore sunglasses all the time, not, blind.
So they show Mike Murdock.
But they had killed him off.
Yeah, so they show him in there, hitting on the villains and stuff, and then they come face to face at the end, so you're like, what the heck is going on?
I want to know.
So that kind of grabbed me. That makes me more interested. Oh, and Phil Noto did the art for this, too, so it's good to get a big-name artist.
Okay.
On the series, because I haven't, not to denigrate the other guys, but haven't had one in a while. Darth Vader, number 19.
We finally got 18 in today, and we're getting the rest in next week. So, yes,
this
is a little out of order.
Oh, okay. This is the start of a new arc for Fortress Invader, about how he came to build his fortress on Mustafar, as seen in Rogue One. This was a good issue, but the only thing is, it didn't have anything to do with Fortress Vader. It didn't have anything to do with him building his fortress. But he's with the Inquisitors, and this issue, they go after one of the Jedi who's still alive, Eeth Koth, who's in the prequels. He kind of has the horns sticking out of his head.
Okay.
And his wife just had a baby, so they're going to get the baby.
There are a lot more Jedi still around than they originally
let
on.
It's like they all are still alive. So Vader and then the Inquisitors go to get him. He's just Eeth Koth. He's kind of just like not living by the Jedi Order anymore, but they still want the baby. And there's a cool scene with them using the Force to grab the kid out of a moving spaceship and through the glass. Good art by Giuseppe Camuncoli did the art. It was good art. So looking forward to hopefully talk about the Fortress next time, because I'm kind of looking forward to that. Another new series I haven't talked about yet, but I've been reading the Charlie's Angels series.
Okay.
From Dynamite. Good creative team. John Layman is writing it.
Okay.
Who did Chew, and the artist is Joe Eisma, who did Archie, among other things. And this takes place, it's like the show. It takes place in the 70s, the original Angels.
Okay.
It's very campy. It's kind of they've been like one-shot stories, but there's an ongoing story too. So far, they're doing their undercover stuff. They've in disguise as hostesses at this limbo lounge, and then they're in disguise as flight attendants.
No way. I'm shocked.
Crazy. To stop a KGB agent from selling American secrets to the East Germans. And in this issue, they sneak into East Germany. While they're getting, directions from Charlie, but Charlie has been captured by two East Germans who want to assassinate President Carter. So they're feeding the Angels bad information, but they finally, they get the feeling something weird's going on. And the issue also introduces the evil version of Charlie's Angels, Helena's Devils.
Oh no.
Who are now going to be on the go after Charlie's Angels. So I enjoyed it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, like I really enjoyed the Betty Page that I read, and so yeah.
So yeah, like you said before, they're doing a good job with Dynamite with their licensed stuff. So it's been a lot of fun, that series, if that's what you're into. And that's all I got, I think.
Pat. We've already talked about what I read.
Everything that you read?
Everything.
Holy cow, well, I'm going to have to go through my exhaustive list.
Both of them?
No. Sandman Universe, number one. Sandman is one of the things that got me back into comics. When we went out to Chicago, I remember I found a little store in a little... it was a little store in a little strip mall. And I kept up my subscription to Comic Buyer's Guide, so I kind of had a vague knowledge of what was going on, but okay. I wasn't actually reading the comics, especially like when I got out of... when I got out of college, I had no money and wasn't reading, and then...
have things changed?
I have more money to spend on comics now.
You're not reading.
I read 9 or last week. but
the guy that reads 2 or 3 give you a hard time.
True.
That's only lately.
But and I just remember hearing about Sandman, so I remember I started and brilliant me started Sandman on issue 66 out of 75. But it was really interesting because I read it, had no idea in the world what was going on, but I knew it was good. And that's kind of how I feel about Morrison, too, is I don't know what's going on, but it's good. And then eventually went back and, you know, got all the issues and trades and reprints and got cobbled together the entire run. And just really loved it, and I'd reread it every once in a while. I've read some reviews and stuff saying it's not new reader friendly. It's hard to say because I'm very well versed in this universe. But I thought it did a pretty good job explaining who all the characters were, what the situation was. Basically, this issue was to set up the 4 Sandman books that are spinning out. Something is wrong. Matthew the Raven goes off to try to find the Sandman. Because he's left the realm and things are just like cracks are opening in reality and things like that. So as he's visiting these people, it's basically setting up their books. He tries to find Tim Hunter, and that little however many page story of his is setting up the new Books of Magic book that's coming. There's another one, the House of Whispers, that looks like it's going to delve into some of the old gods, which was pretty cool. There's a new Lucifer book. And I do apologize, I forget what the other book was, but each part of it I thought was really well done, really tied things together. It didn't feel like, you know, here's an 8-page preview of this, here's an 8-page preview. I thought it was tied together pretty well. And then the wrap-up showing what was going on in the dreaming. One of the books was the dreaming. That one was really good, that part was really good. And then Neil Gaiman, I think, wrote the bookends of it and is overseeing everything. But I thought it was very, very well done. I'm really looking forward to these. I will be pushing and promoting these books just as something I really, really have liked for years. Next one, Eternity Girl. This one I just fell into, especially because I didn't read Milk Wars, where she was all introduced and all of her story really started there. I came in after just on issue 1 just to give it a shot, and I was just fascinated by it. That first issue really, really pulled me in. And this wraps up the story, and it was really, really well done. It was Magdalene Visiago, who wrote this, said it was a lot of her was written to this, her thoughts, her fears, things, because she's trans, so a lot of, you know, emotional stuff going on. And she kind of got a lot of it out through this, just about life and living and all sorts of stuff. But I really liked how it ended. I liked how it finished up. I thought it was really good. Sonny Liu art, and it was really, really good. Really, really fitting. The book worked, I think, because of his art style. So I feel that way about a lot of stuff. Another book I read is that way as well. So that was good. Hey Kids Comics. This is a new one from Howard Chaykin. No nudity or sex in this one. I was a little shocked. He's just kind of...
Sorry, Dave.
Yeah. But it was a really neat book, kind of about the history of comics. Some behind-the-scenes stuff about how hard it was for people to get jobs and work and things like that. My only complaint about it is that it was clearly modified or modeled after real people, but given different names and things. I just couldn't quite follow who the people were supposed to be. So a lot of it was just kind of, you know, Bill Smith, hey, this is Tom Jones, great, da-da-da. But if you didn't know who they were supposed to be, it didn't, it lacked some weight. So I was a little bit confused, but maybe it'll get a little clearer as things go on. But it was good, good shaken art. I know he's very divisive. You either like him or you don't like him, but I happen to like him a lot. I was really excited. I posted yesterday that I'm real excited that my the new price guide, I got the Hall of Fame edition, which has the American flag cover by Chaykin. So I was really excited because American Flag is one of the books that really got me in to collecting from first comics back in the mid-80s. So that was just a little reminiscing. I'd love to reread that, especially in this day and age. Superman number 2. Nobody else read Superman?
I read it.
Okay. I thought it was good. It was another solid issue.
It was good. It felt really quick.
Yeah. I liked how there was some stuff at the beginning you kind of came back around to and explained. But basically, Earth is in the Phantom Zone, and I guess Supergirl did that to protect Earth from Rogal Czar. I'm not sure exactly how all that worked. I don't remember what happened at the end of issue 1. But as of in it, because I remember it was at the end of Man of Steel, she shot it with the Phantom Projector. And I thought she shot Rogal Czar.
Yeah, she shot Rogal Czar.
But Earth is in the Phantom Zone.
Yeah, but I don't think that's from her.
Oh, okay. Well, somehow Earth is in the Phantom Zone. But like Rogal Czar isn't or something, and he's trying to find a way in. That was the one thing where that was the thing where Superman was looking at a barrier and Rogal Czar was on the other side of that barrier.
I thought Rogal Czar...
Okay.
This is why I didn't bring it up. So I was like,
yeah, I'm not sure exactly what happened, but real good Ivan Reis art. Yeah. I did read it not that long ago, but yeah, details are escaping me. Then Farmhand. This was the one that Rob Guillory is writing and drawing. He's the artist on Chew. And this is one where quirky art works as opposed to realistic art, because this is a farm that grows body parts. And this guy's dad, and he's been called back home because something's going on. People are trying to get this guy's technology and things like that. And it's just kind of continuing the story. This was part 2. Lots more, you know, and you're learning more about the family and the relationships and things like that. But it was really, really well
Art's
done.
Art's really cartoony, but it's really creepy.
It is. It's very, like, it gives really the lady a new nose.
At the beginning. Yeah. The last page, too.
Yeah. Where something's going on that we don't know.
Yeah.
This lady who had gotten, like a spine transplant or something, all of a sudden is growing flowers out of her back. So, yeah. Pretty crazy. Pretty creepy. And then the last one I read, actually, I know we talked about it last week, but I had missed reading it, and I felt remiss because it's really up my alley. But it was Justice League Dark. I read number 1 of that. I liked that a lot.
Yeah,
this really hit all my notes. You had Constantine in. I loved
all the characters were handled really well, too.
Yeah. But Detective Chimp was great.
Oh,
missing
yeah.
his friend who died in metal. And
I love the bar now.
And Tracy 13 was fantastic. That's not applesauce or apple juice. That was great. But people were wondering why Wonder Woman was on the team, and she's not. She's really just trying to put it together to deal with something that she's. I don't see her sticking around on the team. I see it being more
the
magical character.
Because in the previews catalog, where it shows like this first like little like crossover event that you're doing. It says that she has to join up with them, which that part to me bugged me because it felt like she was only there for this first issue or whatever, just almost like to bait people in.
Yeah.
With a big name.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. But yeah, I really liked that. Like Constantine going, you know, staying out there, they won't let me in, and addressing the fact that basically he was involved in the death of Zatanna's father.
Yeah.
Bringing back to that stuff. And that's, I think that's going way back, even pre
Hellblazer, that's going back to the Swamp Thing stuff that Alan Moore did. So that's going way back with that. But I love that, you know, they won't let me in. They think I'm a con man. The Swamp Thing scene I thought was perfect. And timed in well. Everything was good. I didn't like the Man-Bat with just the Man-Bat head. I thought that was a little odd. But
they explained it.
They did, but it just it came across a little weird, goofy. But yeah. But yeah, all together, that was a perfect Justice League Dark book. That's what that book needs to be. That's what. So I was very happy with that. So that's all I read. So what's coming out next week, Colin? Well, next week,
Colin.
That's normally your line.
It is.
Stop doing the news. Now you stop doing your line.
Man.
Stopped reading Jeez. Anything.
Didn't show up to the podcast till late.
No, I showed up early.
Pat.
I didn't take a phone call.
The actual recording.
Okay. So next week we have Action Comics 1002, which I'm interested. I really like number one. We have Spider-Man 4, Artifact 10. I'm not sure. Oh, this is a new one from Alterna. $1.50. That's how I can tell who it's from. Avengers 6. We have Batman Kings of Fear. This is a new one from Kelly Jones doing the art on this. New little six-parter about seeing Scarecrow in a way you've never seen before. Beasts of Burden number 1. This was the one, this is Evan Dorkin about these dogs. In this one, they're coming to Pennsylvania because there's some sort of magic problem in Pennsylvania that they're coming to fix. Black Panther number 3, Panther in Space. Cold Spots number 1. This is a new one from Image. This is Cullen Bunn writing yet another book. Damage is getting its annual. Detective, next issue of Detective. Die, Die, Die number 2. If you like number 1, I have a lot of number 2s coming. Hunt for Wolverine Mystery and Madripoor is wrapping up with issue 4. Jughead the Hunger number 8 is coming, which is kind of funny because we just finally got cover A for number 7 this week. And they were all damaged.
I think one more issue, and then it goes past actual
there. We're getting there. Justice League Dark 2. Hey,
catch
look at that.
Sabrina.
Good timing.
And Sabrina's at 9.
Is it?
Okay. Life of Captain Marvel number 2. We have Mr. and Mrs. X number 2. Punisher number 1, the new one. This is still by Matthew Rosenberg. But it's more. It's no longer Punisher War Machine. Just Punisher, Punisher.
So what, on every story arc, they're going to be number now?
So then we have Quantum and Woody, number 9, Sentry number 3, Shadow Man number 6. We do have finally the replacements for Darth Vader 18, and just to make it fun, we also get number 20 next week.
What about 19?
That came out 2 weeks ago.
And it took that long to get the replacements for 18?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Suicide Squad gets an annual. Venom number 5, this one is just blowing up. I can't keep up with how this one's selling. Wakanda Forever is wrapping up with Avengers.
You did not say that right.
Wakanda.
Don't do it.
Forever.
He's baiting you into doing something that's going to come across offensive. Don't do it.
West Coast Avengers number 1, because you know you were missing your Gwenpool and America. So, and 2 Hawkeyes. And then we also have X-Men Gold and X-Men Red next week. So, good week of books. Big week of books. Booyah. Nothing going on at the store right now. We had a sale this weekend for it did really well. Really well. That's okay. Yeah, really well on Friday and Saturday. Sunday didn't do as well. I think because the weather was nice, to be completely honest. So, yeah, nothing going on until September. But just lots of good stuff coming in. I'm going to work on getting a lot of stuff priced. We just got a big supply reorder, so if I was out of bags or boards or anything you needed, I got a lot of those and got in more of what are they called? The black plastic boxes. They have a special name, but I completely blank it. That's about all that's going on right now here at the store. Good.
What?
You're excited. You said yes.
Oh, a purchase order that I put through quickly last week and was hoping we'd get done by today, actually did.
Good.
The vendor just contacted me.
So, as always, you can find me here at the store, or most of the time. I'm out a little bit more than I'd like to right now. Like, tomorrow I'm going to be out in the morning. But it's PittsburghComics.com. I will try to make sure everything's updated correctly on there, Josh.
Josh?
No, I will try to make sure everything on the website is correct.
tried to out you.
No.
I like what you've done. I like the immersive experience.
Facebook is Pittsburgh Comics. Twitter and Instagram is at PGH Comics. I think that's everything.
When's next book club?
Oh, book club is Friday the 31st, actually. We're doing
what
Preacher.
Are we reading?
We're doing Preacher Book 1. So I'm excited. I got to reread that, but that was a good one. I just read it a couple years ago, so I bet I could probably fake my way through it anyway.
I just read book 2, so I think I'm good.
You're good? Okay. But yeah, looking forward to that. And that, I think, is it. So, without further ado, Josh.
That's a podcast.
We'll talk to you next week. See ya.